Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So here on the Brian Lehrer Show, we tend to sing the praises of new technology and the ability to store and access tons of information easily online. Email leads to faster collaboration. Online databases lead to more open government. Photo sharing sites let us do cool crowdsourcing projects and disseminate information that wouldn't otherwise get out. Well, Victor Mayor Schoenberger loves technology too, but he has also been thinking about the downside to all this free-flowing information. Specifically, he's thinking about forgetting. In the digital age, he argues, it's getting harder and harder to forget. Everything from that missent email to that embarrassing photo taken 15 years ago. Everyone has a right to move on, but the internet makes that increasingly difficult. Victor Mayor Schoenberger, did I say your name right?
Yes, absolutely.
Is associate professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy and director of the Information and Innovation Policy Research Center affiliated with Harvard University. His new book is Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age. It's now out from Princeton University Press. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Forgetting, what's the value?
A lot of values, but mainly two important ones. One is forgetting lets us deal with the past. It puts past experiences, past thoughts, past events in perspective. For the most part, we forget what we experience, and we remember only a small portion of it.
We usually think of forgetting as a shortcoming of the human brain. Do you think, though, that we forget by design?
We do forget by design because forgetting permits us to move on and to evolve. There's a wonderful short story by Jorge Luis Borges, the Argentinian writer, about a guy who, after an accident, cannot forget anymore. And he writes about this guy, says, this is a poor guy because he reads all the books, but he cannot generalize anymore. He cannot see the forest for the trees. He cannot abstract, and therefore he has lost what it is to be human, that is to learn and to forget what wrong things we have believed in the past.
So how does technology change the fundamental nature of memory?
Well, so far in the analog world, forgetting was built into our biological brains. We forget. Digital technology lets us store information at very low cost and lets us retrieve information very easily and globally.
And what do we call that storage? We call it memory. And if you run out of memory, you go out and you buy more memory.
Exactly. And you practically don't run out of memory anymore these days because by the time your hard disk is full, the next hard disk is about double the capacity for the same amount of money.
So an example, you write about misaddressed emails, something we've all likely experienced. Is that just the equivalent of letting your tongue slip in public? Eventually people will forgive and forget, or is it more serious than that?
Well, the problem is that if your tongue slips in public, people forget. But if you sent the wrong email to the wrong person, or if you sent an email that wasn't right to somebody, that email might pop up years later, perhaps decades later. You know what happened to politicians with YouTube movies and so forth? They were confronted with what they said many years ago and are confronted. Happens now to potentially everybody.
Listeners, if you want to call in about technology and memory and the ability to forget and the permanence for the rest of time of everything you ever do online, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it, but it will be there forever and ever after that, at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. For Victor Mayor Schoenberger from Harvard, his new book, Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age. Are you advocating anything in this book? Are you advocating that technology be banned or be restricted, or what are you getting at ultimately?
No. I do want us to use the tools of technology. They're very efficient and very effective. No, what I want is that we reintroduce forgetting into the digital tools that we have, much like we have forgetting in our brain. So I advocate for an expiry date of information. that we would add to information that we store on our digital devices, and when the expiry date is reached, that digital information is being deleted.
If we start to implement forgetting, won't the next step be people with something to hide, finding ways to obscure it? Do you worry that we may reverse the transparency that the internet enables?
Oh, no, I'm not worried at all, because through legal mandates and other rules, we already are required to keep records. And we would continue to require people and organizations to keep records for posterity. What I'm worried about is our individual choice. Will we continue to have an individual choice at home in our lives to forget, not just in the analog version of it, but also in the digital version? I want to bring that back.
So you hone in on the fundamental idea of ownership over what we create online, on everything from Flickr pictures to our emails. And it's really a blurry line these days, isn't it?
It is, yes. Particularly when you think about a couple of people in a picture, and that's taken by another person. So who is the owner of that particular picture? How would we set expiry dates? It's not an easy problem. If it were, it would have been solved a long time ago. But if it remains unsolved, I believe we're undoing a fundamental element of our human beingness.
So you're for expiration dates on information.
Yes.
But how would that work?
Well, we already link a lot of meta information to the data files that we store, whether it's the name or the location of it or the creation date. And I just suggest that we add another meta tag to it, and that's the expiry date. And whenever we save information to our hard disks, our system would prompt us not only to enter the file name, but also the expiry date for that information. And we could change that expiry date any time in the future. But once the expiry date is reached, it'll be deleted.
So something would just disappear from your blog or your Facebook page or a photo. You could say, well, this is going to automatically disappear from the Flickr group in 6 months, or a post that somebody makes to this show for this segment would automatically go away at a time that they designate?
That's a possibility. I mean, you guys would have the opportunity and the choice to set your expiry dates together with your viewers, of course. But in general, that's what I'm advocating. In fact, there are services already on the internet where you can upload photos, and they only stay then available for about a week or two or 3 weeks. You can share photos of your kid's birthday party with other parents, but then they go away. And I think we can build on that.
The record companies do that. You can listen to this three times, and then you'll have to pay us again. Alex in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hey, wow. I think I wasn't thinking about this until you just brought it up about the expiration date. I'm such a pack rat, though, that the idea of knowing that I'll be able to have something, you know, in 80 years, I think is fantastic. And to be able to look back on that, even if you do forget, to be able to look back is pretty amazing. And the fact that, you know, I can look at photo and video of my father, and I can look at photos of my grandfather, but my grandkids are going to be able to see me growing up literally almost every single day, or at least every single weekend from high school on. I just think that's like an amazing thing, and it does have an effect, though. And
Well, I was just going to ask if you're ambivalent about it. It sounds like you're so excited that your grandkids will be able to see this, but maybe they don't really want to see that thing of you at a keg party.
They do not need to, definitely. It's the same thing, I think, with all the internet right now, is that it's still so exciting, but it's the Wild West, and we really don't know the implications and the outcome of it.
Thank you very much. Carly in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carly.
Hi. I was thinking about George Bernard Shaw's recommendation that one never write a love letter that one wouldn't care to have heard read in court. I think that kind of care about what we put into digital information is extremely important. It's so easy to type anything really fast, and it's so instantaneous that we've gotten very careless about the content and about its context.
Carly, thank you. And so why doesn't it come down to discretion, Victor, today, just as in George Bernard Shaw's day?
No, I think that is a very important advice to give people who are posting online. But there is a slight problem with that as well. If we start self-censoring ourselves and keeping back and stop involving ourselves in the public discourse, then something is going wrong in our democracy. We need outspoken people. We need people to take stances. We need people to say things that are unpopular. If we have a society in which we are afraid that anything that we say might be held against us in decades to come, we are creating quite an Orwellian system.
Ross in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ross.
Hi. I want to touch on the connection between memory and forgiveness. And I was wondering if you feel that in time to come, as if this idea of forgetting sort of doesn't exist anymore because everything's captured forever, if you think we'll develop sort of a better sense of forgiveness because we'll come to understand that because we can no longer forget, we have to sort of look at everything in a different light and understand that people who are captured at perhaps inopportune moments can't really be held as accountable as they would be, let's say, if they knew they were on camera.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And another way to ask the same thing, I think, is if our capacity to forget is eroding, maybe our standard about what is embarrassing is also going to erode.
Perhaps, or perhaps not. But we don't know yet. I think the point is that forgetting is a wonderful mechanism that enables us and permits us to forgive. And that's incredibly helpful. If we forget something, put it out of our mind, then we have dealt with it in one way or another.
I guess Ross wonders if it might actually go the other way, if I understood him correctly. As we remember more, will it actually make us learn to forgive more easily? So I think you'd be very skeptical of that.
I'd be very skeptical because I think human evolution is a very small, slow process, and I would be very surprised if it would be possible for us to change the way we think and we judge and we decide in the course of a few months or a few years.
Do you want to make that case, Ross?
I mean, I actually think it's already beginning to happen because you have politicians who get into these horrible gaps, or you have, let's say, politicians who make statements about family values and then get embarrassed 2 years later in these horrible scandals. But I think people are learning. First of all, one of the difficulties of remembering everything is that there's simply so much to remember, right? If you have all this technology that records everything, it's so hard to find everything because you have so much. So it's sort of an overload of information, and we have to learn how to sift through that. But
it could be, and we're almost out of time, but remember the example last year. John Favreau, Obama's head speechwriter, posted online where he was making a funny face next to a Hillary Clinton poster. And it became a story, for about 10 minutes. And then people forgot or forgave.
They did, but it did make the news.
Well, guess what? That is where we're going to have to leave it. If you missed this segment, you can hear it in our archive from now through at least the 29th century. And we thank Victor Mayer Schoenberger, Associate Professor at the Kwan Yew School of Public Policy, Director of the Information and Innovation Policy Research Center, affiliated with Harvard University. Do you put that all on your business card? And his new book is Delete, The Virtue of Forgetting in the Digital Age. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program. We had intern help today from Tala Al-Husri and Rachel Senator. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan, and that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.